Good evening. It is 5 p.m. on Thursday, July 23rd, and you're tuned in to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and this is Kingston Currents, your weekly roundup of the latest Limestone local news. CFRC's news programming is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. Coming up in today's episode, some messages directly from the city, including how the city will mark Emancipation Day this year, an update on the 315 Queen Mary Road shared care model opening, and more. Plus, your weather and traffic report for this upcoming weekend, and a few events to keep on your radar from CFRC's events calendar. Without further delay, let's dive in. Starting with some messages directly from the city this evening, the city is inviting feedback on Gore Road active transportation upgrades. The City of Kingston is asking residents to help shape part of an upcoming active transportation project in the city's East End. In a release issued this week, the city says it's moving ahead with plans to upgrade Gore Road between Highway 15 and the Greenwood Park Trail, with a focus on making the corridor safer and more connected for people who walk, cycle, and roll. According to the city, the project will strengthen connections between Greenwood Park, the Waban Crossing, and Kingston's broader active transportation network. Planned improvements include a new multi-use pathway, upgraded pedestrian and cyclist crossings, improved lighting along the corridor, as well as roadway resurfacing and alignment improvements. The city says the overall road alignment and pathway layout have already been confirmed, and design work will continue throughout this year, with construction expected to begin in late 2026. At this stage, officials are looking for community feedback, specifically on the location of rest areas along the new multi-use pathway. The city says public input will be considered alongside technical requirements such as safety, accessibility, and operational needs before final decisions are made. Residents can review the proposed rest area locations and submit feedback through the city's Get Involved Kingston engagement website until July 28th. In another message from the city of Kingston is asking residents to help decide what this year's municipal election stickers will look like. In a release issued this week, the city says more than 60 designs were submitted by community members of all ages as part of its 2026 election sticker contest. After reviewing the entries, a shortlist has been selected, featuring 6 I Voted sticker designs and 4 future voter designs. Now the city is inviting Kingstonians to cast their vote for their favorites. Voting is open until Monday, August 17th at 4 p.m., and residents can participate online through Get Involved Kingston, by calling the city, or by email. The winning designs will be printed and handed out during the municipal election on advance voting days, October 16th and 17th, as well as on Election Day, October 26th. The city says I Voted stickers will be available for everyone who casts a ballot, while future voter stickers will be available for young people who accompany friends and families to the polls. As a keepsake, the winning designers will also receive a sheet of their printed stickers. Once again, voting is open until Monday, August 17th. The city is inviting residents to come together next weekend to recognize Emancipation Day. A free community celebration will take place on Saturday, August 1st at Confederation Park, beginning with a flag-raising ceremony at 12:30 p.m., followed by a community art exhibition starting at 1:30. In their release, the city says Emancipation Day is an opportunity to remember and honor those who fought to end slavery across the British Empire, while also reflecting on the ongoing work of advancing equality and dismantling racial discrimination in Canada. The afternoon's flag-raising ceremony will feature musical performances, a youth tribute, and a keynote address from equity and inclusion consultant, author, and community activist Keisha Facey. Her keynote, titled Honoring the Past, Empowering the Future, will connect the history and legacy of emancipation with present-day commitments to equity and collective responsibility. Following the ceremony, residents are invited to explore a community art exhibition featuring interactive displays centered on themes of resistance, freedom, healing, and resilience. The exhibition will showcase artifacts celebrating the history and achievements of African civilizations over thousands of years. The event will also include food vendors serving Nigerian, Haitian, and other cuisines, while the Kingston Frontenac Public Library will host a family-friendly kids zone featuring crafts, bracelet making, freedom flag coloring activities, and story readings highlighting books by Black Canadian authors. In the city's release, IIDEA advisor Sua Osman says, quote, Emancipation Day is an important opportunity to recognize the strength, resilience, and contributions of Black communities, while also acknowledging the lasting impacts of slavery and anti-Black racism that continue to shape experiences today. Osman adds that building inclusive and equitable communities requires ongoing commitment, meaningful action, and accountability throughout the year. The city says the event is free, open to everyone, and encourages residents to attend, learn, reflect, and celebrate together. The city has provided an update on the new shared care hub at 315 Queen Mary Road. The city of Kingston says construction is nearing completion on its new shared care model at 315 Queen Mary Road, with residents expected to begin moving into the building next month. The city says the former Extendicare building is being transformed into an integrated health and housing hub designed to address both healthcare needs and the social determinants of health. The project is built around three main components: transitional supportive housing, a primary care clinic, and community programming space. The city says Kingston Community Health Center's Midtown Kingston Health Home has already relocated into the building and is now operating from the site, providing team-based primary care and a variety of integrated health services. The transitional housing component will be operated by Home-Based Housing. The program will offer 33 transitional housing units for adults aged 55 and older with varying levels of healthcare needs. Residents will receive around-the-clock on-the-site support through 24-hour staffing and goal-based case management, with Home-Based Housing expected to begin welcoming residents in August once construction wraps up. The city's release also outlines plans for the community programming space. Beginning in October, Lionhearts will be able to move their vocational laundry program to the site, where participants can gain practical work experience while building confidence and employment skills. Additional community programming is expected to begin in early 2027. The city also notes that council recently approved the addition of a new wellness and health center within the building. That space will complement the existing primary care clinic by offering services including respiratory rehabilitation, physiotherapy, occupational therapy, hydrotherapy, and other wellness supports. To help strengthen communication between the facility and surrounding neighborhood, the city is also recruiting members for a new community liaison committee. The city says the committee will provide an ongoing forum for dialogue between partner organizations and nearby residents as the site becomes operational. Applications to join the committee are being accepted until August 9th through the city's Get Involved Kingston website. The city says residents interested in learning more about the project or applying to the committee can also contact the city directly by phone or email. The email is contactus@cityofkingston.ca and the phone number is 613-546-0000. Before we get into more local news, let's take a look at your weather and traffic report for the rest of the week. Let's start by taking a look at traffic around Kingston in construction and delays. Expect lane reductions on King Street West between Country Club Drive and Front Road, while Utilities Kingston continues water and sanitary main installations. Drivers may also encounter delays on Bath Road between Sir John A. McDonald Boulevard and Portsmouth Avenue, as crews continue installing new pedestrian crossing signals. Construction continues at the intersection of Montreal Street and John Counter Boulevard, with roadway and sidewalk repairs, landscaping, and line painting. Paving and road improvements are ongoing on Taylor Kidd Boulevard between Coronation Boulevard and Collins Bay Road. Cranbrook Street between Lakeview Avenue and Days Road is closed through the end of August for pedestrian improvements. John Street between Montreal Street and Baggett Street remains closed through July 31st for Utilities Kingston water and sanitary service upgrades. Norman Rogers Drive between Sir John A. McDonald Boulevard and Van Order Drive remains closed for roadway rehabilitation and safety improvements. Princess Street remains closed between Frontenac Street and Division Street as the city's major reconstruction project continues. Sydenham Street remains closed between Princess and Queen for the Sydenham Street community space. Wright Crescent remains closed between Palace Road and Kingsland Crescent for roadway repairs and traffic calming improvements. Aberdeen Street between Johnson and William remains closed for construction staging, while Berry Street at Queen remains closed for construction activity related to 283 Queen. Now getting into your weather report for the rest of your Thursday and the weekend ahead. This evening stays clear and comfortable with temperatures falling to 12 degrees overnight. Friday brings another sunny day with a high of 26 degrees. Friday night remains clear with a mild low of 17. Saturday is looking just as nice with sunny skies and another high of 26 degrees. Clouds begin to increase Saturday night along with a 30% chance of showers and an overnight low of 18. By Sunday, the weather turns a little less certain. Expect cloudy skies with a 40% chance of showers and a high of 27 degrees. Sunday night remains cloudy with a 40% chance of showers and a low of 16. This has been your weather and traffic reports for this evening. Now let's turn back to more local news. Southeast Public Health is reminding residents to protect themselves from mosquito bites after confirming the first local evidence of West Nile virus activity this year. In a release issued this week, the health unit says mosquitoes carrying West Nile virus have been detected in the Belleville area. It's the first mosquito pool in the Southeast Public Health region to test positive for the virus this season. The health unit also reports that two black crows in the region tested positive for West Nile virus during the week of July 13th. Mosquito surveillance is carried out throughout the summer using monitoring traps placed at several locations across the region. Mosquitoes collected from those traps are routinely tested to monitor West Nile virus activity and help assess the level of risk to the public. West Nile virus is primarily found in birds and mosquitoes. Mosquitoes become infected after feeding on infected birds and can then spread the virus to people and animals through their bites. While many people who become infected experience only mild symptoms or no symptoms at all, the health unit says early signs of illness can include fever, muscle weakness, a stiff neck, confusion, severe headache, sensitivity to light, tremors, numbness, or vision loss. In more serious cases, the virus can lead to inflammation of the brain, known as encephalitis. Anyone who develops symptoms after being bitten by mosquitoes is encouraged to contact their healthcare provider. According to Southeast Public Health, mosquitoes capable of carrying West Nile virus typically begin appearing in July and reach their highest numbers by mid-August, then decline toward the end of August. Kim McCann, manager of environmental health with Southeast Public Health, says, quote, "The recent identification of West Nile virus in local mosquito populations, along with the recent detection of the virus in two birds, serves as an important reminder for residents across the region to take steps to protect themselves from mosquito bites and eliminate potential mosquito breeding sites around their homes," end quote. The health unit recommends wearing long sleeves, long pants, socks, and a hat when outdoors during dawn and dusk, when mosquitoes are most active. Residents are also encouraged to use insect repellents, ensure windows and doors have properly fitted screens, and remove standing water from around their properties, including bird baths, buckets, and children's pools, to reduce mosquito breeding. If you encounter a dead bird or other animal, Southeast Public Health advises against handling it with bare hands. Instead, use gloves and a shovel to bury the animal at least 50 centimeters deep in an area where it won't be disturbed. Updates as well as more information about West Nile virus prevention is available from Southeast Public Health's website. Kingston Economic Development is celebrating the opening of a new research facility it says will help accelerate health and life sciences innovation in the region. In a release issued following a ribbon-cutting ceremony on July 16th, Kingston Economic Development announced the official opening of the Helix Wet Lab, a new 1,000-square-foot Biosafety Level 2, or BSL2, certified laboratory located inside Providence Care Hospital. According to Kingston Economic Development, the facility was created to address a shortage of affordable, move-in-ready laboratory space across southern Ontario, a challenge that has made it difficult for many early-stage life sciences companies to move new technologies from research into commercialization. The organization says the new lab gives companies access to dedicated laboratory benches, office space, Providence Care's official research facilities, meeting rooms, and specialized scientific equipment, including biosafety cabinets, CO2 incubators, PCR systems, fluorescence microscopes, centrifuges, spectrophotometers, and other advanced research tools. The goal is to help emerging companies accelerate research, product development, and commercialization without having to leave the region. Speaking in the release, Ben McKilkaham, investment manager for life sciences and health innovation at Kingston Economic Development, says, quote, By providing accessible laboratory space and opportunities for collaboration, we are helping companies move their ideas from concept to commercialization right here in Kingston. The new facility is located within Providence Care Hospital, allowing companies to work closely with Kingston's research institutions, healthcare organizations, and innovation partners. The project is also part of Kingston Economic Development's broader $3.4 million life sciences initiative, which aims to support both startup and growing companies through laboratory infrastructure, commercialization funding, business mentoring, and connections to research and validation networks. The initiative is designed to strengthen Eastern Ontario's life sciences sector, while helping innovative companies scale their technologies closer to home. The Helix Wet Lab and its associated funding are supported by the Government of Canada through the Federal Economic Development Agency for Southern Ontario, also known as FedDev Ontario. Kingston Economic Development says companies interested in tenancy opportunities or learning more about the Helix Wet Lab can find additional information through Invest Kingston. Before we wrap up this evening, I'm going to run through your weekend forecast, a roundup of just some of the events Kingston has to offer to finish off your week. If you're looking for something to do after tonight's show, there's plenty happening around Kingston. Tonight at 6, head to the KFPL Central Branch for 20-something Thursday, or catch a screening of Princess Mononoke at Robert Sutherland Hall. At 6:30, the Tet Center is hosting Story Stitched in Fabric, a hands-on textile memory workshop. At 7 o'clock, it's Trivia Night across the city with music trivia at Something in the Water Brewing Company, plus trivia at Riverhead and Spearhead Brewing. At 8, enjoy an outdoor screening of School of Rock in Springer Market Square. Then wrap up the night with karaoke at Jersey's at 8:30, The Buckle at 9, or the weekly urban music social at La Vida Bistro beginning at 9:30. On Friday, brush up your Spanish at the Spanish Conversation Session in the Sydenham Street Community Space at 12:30. The off-season dance festival gets underway at the Hotel Wolf Island at 3 p.m. Then the evening winds down with karaoke at The Buckle at 9 or Deft Brewing from 9 until 1. Saturday starts with the Kingston Public Market in Springer Market Square open from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., alongside the Gananoque Craft Market at Town Hall from 10 until 4. At 11, check out chef demos at the City Hall Amphitheater, followed by Saturday sessions in Confederation Park at 12:30, featuring live local music. At 2, you can join the Vibrant Voices Song Circle at KFPL Central Branch, or get creative at Paint Your Perfect Summer Day at the KFPL Pittsburgh Branch. The off-season dance festival continues at Hotel Wolf Island starting at 6, and line dancing returns to the Buckle at 7. On Sunday, Lighting the Sacred Fire, Honoring the Children takes place throughout the day in Federation Park from dusk until dawn. The Memorial Center Farmers Market runs from 9 until 2, while the Cataraqui Indigenous Market fills Confederation Park from 10 until 4. You can also enjoy yoga in Battery Park at 10 a.m., before finishing the weekend with karaoke at The Merchant or The Toucan, both starting at 9 p.m. That's a wrap on your weekend forecast. Once again, that's just some of the events Kingston has to offer this weekend. Be sure to head to CFRC.ca for our full events listings, curated by CFRC's Community News and Arts Coordinator, Jenny Hinch. If you have an event or concert that you'd like to add to our online and on-air calendar, reach out today via CFRC.ca or CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. That is all things current in Kingston for this week. Thank you for listening to CFRC's local news programming, brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. To revisit episodes and listen on the go, head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.